From WHQR Public Media, this is The Newsroom. I'm Ben Schachman. Thanks for listening to this special edition for the 2025 Wilmington City Council election. This year, there are three open seats on council, and we have eight candidates, including six challengers and two incumbents. We also have three candidates for mayor, including our incumbent mayor. While the city council race is technically nonpartisan, the local Democratic and Republican parties do play a role in supporting candidates. And for city council, we have three Republican candidates, one unaffiliated candidate, and four Democratic candidates, although the county Democratic Party implemented a straw poll to narrow its support to just three of those candidates and one of the two Democrats running for mayor. And we'll have information on all of that on our show page. On today's show, we're interviewing Republican challenger Sean Guerrero, who has worked in a variety of government roles for over a decade, in addition to being involved in the Wilmington music and film scene. We'll ask him a host of questions drawn from listeners and readers and our Community Agenda program. All right, Sean Guerrero, candidate for Wilmington City Council. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you again for having me and for working with my crazy schedule.
Not a problem. So before we get into the policy issues that are facing Wilmington, I just wanted to give you a chance just to tell people a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, thank you. So my name is Sean Guerrero. I've been living in Wilmington for like 20 plus years, graduate of NC State magna cum laude. So I'm very proud to be a Wolfpack there. And yeah, so I've been working in government for probably 20 plus years. For 12 plus years. Spent about 9.5 years overseas in the Middle East, working with a variety of different cultures and beliefs and lifestyles out there. So, you know, that was exciting. And I'm heavily involved in the arts community with film and music and this beautiful city that I absolutely love. So,
right on. So one more question before we get to the policy stuff. And
yeah.
That is every single time someone posted like a new photo on the New Hanover County Board of Elections, like the first question that popped up was, which party are they with? So we're asking every, so just to get it out of the way, we're asking every candidate which party they're affiliated with, if they're affiliated, and if so, why?
So I'm going to answer it like this. One of the big things that I'm running on right now is I'm not interested in party affiliation. I'm just not. I'm interested in great ideas and working with the community and the team of people that get elected. That's where my interest is. Yes, I am a conservative, but I don't go along with this old Democrat Republican stuff. That's just not who I am. And on top of that, in this climate, as you probably have already seen, it is very, very divisive. And I'm just not, that's not there. I work with people on both sides of the fence. And one of the things that I love is I've got friends on the far left, far right, and we never argue because there's a reason why people think, act, say, and do and feel the way they do. You just have to be able to communicate. And most importantly, listen to what they're saying. Because guess what? People on both sides of the fence have great ideas. You know, it's so if somebody's trying to pin me to one side or the other, you're not going to get very far because I'm just not interested in that. This is a council position, and you have to be able to work together. And that's what I'm hoping people at least will gauge from me. It's like, look, man, let's just work together. Let's hear what you got. You know, I've seen stuff online. There's one lady that's running was talking about, and we'll dive into this later, I'm sure, but about wildlife preservation. And I saw her posing some ideas, and guess what? Like, man, that sounds really good. Let's hear what she has to say. Like, what's wrong with that?
Right on. All right, well, let's get into some of these issues. First, at the top of the list, every time we go out to the community and ask people, affordable housing. And it's a tough one, but I'm curious, you know, if you've been following this, if you think there are things the city should be doing differently, things they should keep doing or do more of, what's your take on this?
I mean, I think affordable housing is a great idea because there's people that need it. I've known people that couldn't get on the program, right, that absolutely needed it. And then there's other people that I'll say this. I had one story where somebody that was on the program and yet they were showing up in like this Mercedes-Benz style looking car.
Are you talking about public housing?
No, I was talking about Section 8 housing.
Section 8 housing, yeah.
Yeah, I was talking about that.
Sure.
And I didn't quite understand that. But I'm not one to judge because I don't know what's going on in somebody else's life. But as far as affordable housing, I think it's important. There's people that do need to be on that program. But just like in anything, there needs to be, you know, a healthy avenue on how we are approaching these things so that one is not hurt by the other. So that's going to take great ideas, communicating, and looking at what's currently taking place and how can we make it better without taking from another individual. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, yeah. So a related issue, sometimes referred to as workforce housing. So this is not government subsidized housing like Section 8.
Right,
this is
right.
situations where the government leverages either property or water and sewer connections or direct financial investment to bring down the average unit cost of, say, an apartment complex. And this would be, you know, people making 80% of the median income. We're talking nurses, teachers, cops, stuff like that.
Right.
How do you feel about that? Because there are certainly people who feel like the government shouldn't have a role in that, and certainly people who feel like the government has an obligation to do even more.
Right. So, my stance is that there's people that are in need, and there's people that are getting hurt by the lack thereof. And so we have to look at those issues and find out how can we make this better so that those that are being hurt aren't going to get hurt anymore, and those that are feeling left out are able to get their needs met, and we have to find that balance. So I would ask you, like, what's one of the concerning that area, right? What's one of the things that you would like to see?
Well, I try to keep my opinions out of it, but I can tell you what I've seen be successful.
Sure.
And that is, it is very expensive to subsidize an individual unit. I mean, upwards of $20,000 to get one apartment unit down from the market rate, which is, you know, somewhere around $1,500 a month for a two-bedroom, down to like $1,000 a month, somewhere where like an entry-level police officer or a teacher or someone in the service industry, like many of the cooks I used to work with, could afford. And that's frustrating for the public sometimes because they feel like, well, we're spending a lot of money and they're not seeing the ROI they want. We've heard from people that, you know, adaptive reuse and infill and renovating existing units and houses has been successful. That still takes government money. And so if there's a philosophical difference on whether or not the government should be involved, it's still going to be off the table for some people. But at least that's what we've heard from our workforce housing committee, that seems to be a better ROI.
Okay. Well, I mean, and that's a fair statement. But so, and that actually leads me to another aspect of this is the cost of living. In this town, cost of living is through the roof. I remember back in the day, a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house could run, you know, on average about $1,200. And now that's like a miracle if something like that happens. But I think one of the things that can help address situations like that and even these other avenues is having a good relationship with the Board of Trustees, like at UNCW, right? You have an influx of all these students that are coming through and working together to find other avenues and developing policies and programs so that we can help build into that. When I say build, I mean finding new avenues so we can get a healthy balance across the board so that these people aren't being hurt and aren't being left out and we can get some affordability for every, you know, citizen here in this city that are in that medium or as you were saying, in the lower medium on the class of financial, so to speak.
Can you say a little bit more about that? Like how would you see UNCW? Because so they're certainly a good partner with the city and the county.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what could they do to help, you know, kind of crack this nut?
I think something like this is going to require a lot of dialogue between everyone everyone within the council who's going to get, who becomes elected and who's already in place. I think that this is just something that it's a fine line, and it's just going to require a lot of depth of communication. Because if you have a lot of people that's coming in, and maybe they can work getting affordable housing for students without oversaturating, overreaching, and causing prices to drive up because they're all secluding it into one area, so to speak, or pigeonholing it in one spot, and then it's just having a negative effect. But that's going to require a lot of dialogue between the council members and them.
All right, let me ask you about the most extreme form, I guess, of housing trouble, and that's homelessness.
Yeah.
If you've been downtown Wilmington, you've seen, I think, a lot of downtown businesses, people who work and live downtown have noticed there are, you know, a fair number of chronically homeless people. It's a problem throughout the city, but it's very visible in downtown Wilmington. What is your take on this? I mean, is this the city's job? Are there ideas you think should be put to work here?
Yeah, this is actually one of the things that I'm running on, and that is I would like to see a brighter light shined on working, impactful nonprofit organizations that are in play to see what kind of additional resources they need that are working towards to help to get homelessness off the streets. And not just to get off the streets, but rehabilitate, right? Get them back into the workforce and help them Because everybody is different and people have different situations, but that is something I don't think that we should ignore. So let's take a look at active, impactful organizations that are working towards that. And then as needed, let's look to create additional resources for that particular situation. You know, maybe there's there's something that we could do with like a honeypot where there's like an X number of percentage that is put aside for working impactful organizations to help them to increase those targeted aspects to get rehabilitate in place people that are on the streets back into the working society to help them get back on their feet. I think that's important.
I want to ask you about a related issue. We're talking about housing. Someone has to build those houses and they have to build them somewhere. You've been in Wilmington for a while. You've seen the growth and development. Apartment complexes popping up everywhere. We see a lot of public pushback of this, kind of irrespective of party, honestly.
Right.
So how do you balance, or what's your approach to dealing with, you know, the growth of the city versus people's sense that developments run amok to a certain extent?
So I'm glad you asked that, because I've had this conversation with people on both sides. And that is the one of the things, like I say, that a lot of people have in common, and that's that the overdevelopment is a real issue in this city. That one lady I talked to you about that I saw about preservation of wildlife, I am 100% on board on that. I think the constant tearing down of our wildlife, of our greenery, is a real issue where you're building on top of another. I think that one of the things that we need to do is take a look at these zoning laws and look at areas of improvement. What can we do to adjust to stop this? Because growth is not a bad thing, but it needs to be done in a healthy way. I was, a couple of years ago, I was looking for a place to rent for my fiance, and I went into a neighborhood. And no exaggeration. Now, this is like way out in the boonies. I see houses, right? Just big development of houses, new houses that were built. Here's the street, and right next to it were apartment complexes, and they were building more apartment complexes. And I was like, man, it's just stacking on one another. The traffic is congested. We have an influx of people that are coming from all over, which is great. Wilmington's an amazing city, but this has to be done in a healthy way. So I think that is something that we're going to have to look at to find ways to improve and find out what's actually happened here. Why is this being allowed to take place where it's not benefiting the community and the local citizens are upset, and they have every right to be upset.
So one thing I've asked all the candidates is, you can't make developers do anything, you can incentivize, but mm-hmm. you can kind of shape things a little bit with those zoning laws that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. If you could steer that density, those apartment complexes, taller buildings with more people, to particular parts of the city, you know, if it were up to you, where would you direct that?
Where would I direct that? I mean, short answer on this is, I would not want to have this building on top of each other. You know, I think there needs to be a healthy boundary of sections where you have, you know, this type here, you know, as far as type of buildings here, you know, apartment complexes, houses versus building one upon another, because then it affects your citizens' values. I mean, there's other things that take place there, and I think there needs to be a healthy separation there and leave room for our greenery and our wildlife. You know, this city was like the hidden gem, 10 plus years ago. And now that's just not the case. It's a gem, but it's exploded. So let's get a balance there and relook at that.
I think you've already kind of answered this, but I've asked all the candidates about their approach to maintaining or creating more green space. It sounds like that's something you're in favor of.
Very much so. Absolutely.
I mean, is that something you're willing to put taxpayer money on the barrelhead for?
So what I don't want to do is I don't want to see tax increases on our city, right? Who does? Right, that's not something that I don't believe any citizen wants to be burdened with the increase of property taxes and, you know, all that stuff. We don't want to do that, but there's healthy avenues again that we can communicate together and listen to community, you know, citizens that of ideas that they have, and then find that healthy boundary, look to see if some of these zoning laws can be improved so that we can create a healthy separation in grouping so that the community can grow in a healthy manner without damaging to our values, to our citizens, to our way of life.
Another question I want to ask you about, different kind of development, economic development.
Okay.
Over the years, we've seen a number of direct incentive packages from the city and the county. I'm thinking of the PPD building that is now mm-hmm. City Hall, actually.
Yeah.
Your future digs if you're successful in your campaign. There was an incentive package for Live Oak Bank. Mm-hmm. There's also been, you know, less direct approaches that the city has partnered with the Chamber of Commerce to bring in businesses. So what is your what are your thoughts on that kind of those kinds of programs for developing the economy of Wilmington?
Can you expound on that a little more for me?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, in under some administrations, the city has taken a strong hand in trying to bring in large employers.
Okay.
And sort of directly address maybe you call it the flip side of affordable housing, which is how much money you have to spend on that housing, by creating more jobs for Wilmington residents. Right. So is that an avenue you're interested in?
So I think it's important to, again, with the healthy growth, to create jobs for Wilmington citizens. But again, that is something that needs to be a balance, because if you're having somebody that's coming in that's cutting out the community, taking away, tearing down wildlife, and it's like, what's going on? What are you bringing to the community? You know, what are you bringing to the city? You know, that can be an issue. And I don't believe a lot of citizens are in favor of that.
Last question about the economy. It's not a secret, I don't think, that there's some serious economic disparities in Wilmington. There's some very successful, very affluent people and some people who are not doing so well. And that breaks along racial lines a lot of times, not all the time. Do you think the city has a role in addressing economic inequality and to a fair extent, racial inequality?
So you're talking about like DEI and stuff.
Well, I'm talking about, you can call it what you want, but I mean, if you look at, you know, the census tracts and you look at the median incomes in different areas,
sure.
They're very high some places, very low other places. Yeah. Is that a problem that the city should deal with, or is that not the city's jurisdiction?
Sure. So I have a very strong stance on this. I believe that you need to be hired on merit and your qualifications, not the color of your skin, not the gender of your identity, right? And that's just where I stand. I do not believe that anybody would be in favor of, if you have two people that are doing the same job, both qualified, excelling, and then all of a sudden somebody is showing biasry or racism towards another, and then they're promoting one when the other person, you know, let's just say the minority deserved it. How is that fair? You can't do that. But again, everything should be based on merit and qualifications. And I don't see why that is an issue. And the fact is I think majority of people would encourage that. Yeah, like with diversity. Absolutely. That's a great thing. You know, let's get more diversity. But again, I wouldn't want to be treated based on the color of my skin or my gender. I want you to hire me and promote because of the job that I'm doing, the qualifications, my merit. That's what I want. That's respect. And that is not showing favoritism. And I think that's important.
I think this also extends to programs that the, you know, city and county have participated on and off in the past. Mm-hmm. Things like, it's like small business loans for, say, minority or women-run businesses.
Okay.
I mean, is that something, does that fall under that same rubric of DEI for you, or do you feel like that's different?
No, I mean, look there's programs that they have in schools, like I said, in businesses that offer it for minorities, and I don't see anything wrong with that at all. I think that's a great thing. I mean, when I was going to NC State and I was looking for scholarships, there was this one app that I had, and there was thousands of opportunities, right? And I thought it was great. Hey, if you're of the Hispanic culture, there are Hispanic division wants to go ahead and be able to offer scholarships to help support their community. I'm part Spanish. My dad was Dominican. That's fantastic. I don't see an issue with that. My issue is not that. My issue is when you're not going off of merit and the qualifications, and you're just completely overlooking it. And I think that's disrespectful to people. But yes, programs that are available to minority groups, to just people in general, that's fantastic. I don't see where there's an issue.
All right. I want to pivot to a different issue,
sure.
And that's public safety. So yeah. Talking about, by and large, talking about the Wilmington Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
There, any day now, we're expecting the announcement of a new police chief. So there's probably going to be, you know, there's a new administration. There's a chance for the department to keep doing what it's been doing or do things differently in terms of policing style, how it recruits and retains, how oversight is provided. What would you like to see the Wilmington Police Department be like over the next 4 years?
I would like to see an increased presence of the police department throughout the city, but specifically in areas that have the higher crime volume that has been taking place over the past couple of years. I also believe that we should not be reducing budget from the police. I believe that they need our support, and we need to seriously look at that for the safety of this community.
I mean, one thing I've heard from police officers over and over again is that there are morale issues, there will always be morale issues, but one of the sticking points is compensation and, you know, things like health benefits and stuff like that. it does feel like law enforcement agencies are kind of in a bidding war in our region. You know, we see people leave Wilmington to go to Boiling Spring Lakes or Leland or north of here. And one solution that's been put forward is just financial, is just pay them more, provide better benefits. That does cost money. Is that something you think the city would be well served by investing in?
Well, I mean, think about it. Depending where you live, right? Higher cost of living equals higher pay. What's the threat level, right? What's the size of the community? What is their workloads that are happening? All these things should be taken into account, that if you're doing the job or if you're overloaded and you're being spread pretty far thin, I don't think anybody's going to argue the point that, yeah, you should be paid more. But I think everybody, whether it's police, fire department, medics, they deserve to have excellent health benefits. They're putting their life on the line for your safety, for my safety, and for their own safety, right? I want to be feel protected too. And if something happens to them on the job, they want to know that they're protected, that they're taken care of, both health-wise for their medical. So, yes, they should have excellent benefits, and they should be paid their worth.
I think a lot of police officers I talk to would agree with you. I guess my question for any candidate who supports that is, you know, this year we saw the equestrian unit, for example, was on the chopping block. They were able to move money around and save the downtown horse police unit.
Okay.
But to pay officers more and not raise taxes, you've got to pull from somewhere. You know, have you thought to the point of, like, what would you do less of so you could do more of that?
Right. This is one of those questions that, again, you know, as a the existing council members right now, it's not a one-man team. It's an entirety group of people that have to come together, communicate, share their ideas. And again, I'm going to revert back to also listening to the community itself to hear what they're saying, because they matter, right? It's not the councilors are not just running the whole, they're not running the show here. You know, we're doing everything, working together for the better of the community. So that is what my response to that would be, is let's discuss, let's listen, communicate effectively, and find solutions or a solution that's a healthy manner to be able to make the adjustments so that one person is not being taken from that's going to hurt them in the short or long term.
Okay, last policy question.
Sure.
And this is public transportation.
Oh.
Yeah. Over the last 20 years that I've watched, you know, the evolution of public transportation in Wilmington and New Hanover County, it's been a bumpy ride, no pun intended. The county has been in, it was out, it's back in. I certainly think we've seen more funding and more services offered over the last couple of years, but I think some people would also argue that they'd like to see public transportation do a lot more, reach a lot more areas, but that costs money.
Right.
What is your approach? What are your thoughts on what WAVE is doing right now, acknowledging that you also have to work with federal and county partners?
Right. So I was in London last year, and you familiar with their public transportation?
Yeah, I lived there for 6 months. It was awesome.
It's the best.
It's awesome.
You know, their trains go everywhere on the metro. I love it. And I said, man, I really wish that we could adopt something similar like that more so. Because one, it cuts down in traffic. A healthier aspect, you're walking, you're biking. I think that would be awesome. But obviously, that's not as feasible for a town like this. So I think there is absolutely room for improvement on the transportation. We have, a healthy bus system, but that is something that we need to look at because the congestion is just outrageous. And just trying to come down here, it took me about 30-something minutes because of the traffic, and we're not even at the 5 o'clock yet. You know, so when it comes to road, when it comes to transportation, the logistics, improvements, adjustments, all that needs to be looked at. And that's what I would say about that.
All right. Well, those are our policy questions. I want to give you an opportunity to touch on anything else I didn't get to or that you want to talk to people about.
Yeah. So as I was sharing with you earlier, the one thing for me is, when New Hanover County Board of Elections made the post, I saw some of the comments that would come across. And it has been a busy, busy past couple of weeks. But the one thing that I want people to remember is that, again, for me, I'm not interested in your party affiliation. I'm interested in great ideas and communicating and listening. One of the things that people that I saw some people say is, oh, well, he's very strong in his faith, right? Christian. Yes, I am. I am a Christian in love with Jesus, and Jesus loves you. I have no problem sharing that. But guess what? I've been working in government for over 12 years, and I've worked with every faith, every walk of life, across the spectrum. I wouldn't be able to do my job if there was not a healthy balance. So why am I sharing that? I'm sharing it to say, vote for the people that you believe has the potential and the ideas that they're sharing that's going to be most effective for this community, right? And try to see past the party lines and just listen to the individual. It's important. We have in this community right now, we have issues. Like I said, there's transportation that needs improvement. You know, there's cost of living. There's crime. You have the homelessness. You know, these are things that are real issues that matter to people. Not Republican, not Democrat, but to people. And we have to be able to come back to the basis on learning how to communicate. So for me, yes, I hope to get people's support. But more importantly, just take time to listen to the candidates, hear what they're saying, and then let's come together. Let's get these ideas. Let's listen to what people are saying. And then those that get elected, I pray the absolute best for them and that they're successful in what they're doing. And let's help to improve this city. Because I don't think anybody's going to come on here and say, oh, yeah, Wilmington's in the perfect spot. You know, there's a lot of issues going on that we need to address. I saw the thing just recently about the early elections and what happened with that. You know, well, you could chop it up to a number of things. But again, the community cares. So we need to address those type of things and be on top of our game. But remember, we are human, but we have to work together regardless of which party. And that's what I'm hoping people get across, at least from me.
All right. Well, by the way, I should have asked at the top, what did you do for the government? What do you do for the government? Or can you tell us?
That's a loaded one. That's a loaded one. So I could tell you, so over 12 years, I've done a variety of everything from logistics to security, management on various contracts and providing support. That's what I can say.
All right. Fair enough. Well, Sean Guerrero, candidate for Wilmington City Council, thank you very much for your time today.
Ben, thank you again for your time. I appreciate it, brother.
That was our interview with challenger Sean Guerrero, who is running for Wilmington City Council. I'm Ben Shockman. Thanks for listening to this special edition of The Newsroom. And check out our other candidate interviews at whqr.org or wherever you get The Newsroom as a podcast.